All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Some of you all are not in your normal seats and you've got me all messed up. You didn't get here in time, did you? Huh? That'll teach you. That'll teach you. All right, Luke chapter 2. I want to read some familiar verses, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of how God speaks to us. How God speaks to us. And I think it'll help you, be an encouragement to you. But let's begin reading in verse 8. Verse 8. And the Bible here says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." Now, I've told you many, many times in the past that swaddling clothes are burial clothes. They're grave clothes. They're clothes that would be used to wrap the body of a deceased family member. And so these rags were, these were old clothes that that didn't fit anymore or did not, or were wearing out, and they were just cast aside and kept for such a purpose as wrapping the body of a passed on relative. All right, verse 13, and wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel," now watch this carefully, "and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." All right, let's pray, and then I want to speak to you this morning on how God speaks to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now your blessings upon your word, and I pray that you will help all of us to glean something this morning, something that will challenge our hearts, will stir our hearts. And Father, I just ask you to help me as I speak, and I pray that you will bless our folks as they listen and give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. These verses that I just read for you are a part, a very crucial part, of the story of the birth of our Lord. And there are, of course, a multitude of things that we can learn from these verses. one of the messages of this beautiful story and story that all of us probably know by heart by now, but one of the beautiful lessons that we can glean here is the fact that God speaks to us in ways we are familiar with so we can understand what God's saying. God speaks to us where we are. I suppose that this is part of our God's fatherly compassion, that he deals with each of us in ways that are familiar to each of us. So we can grasp and understand that his message and his call is just specifically for us. For example, the wise men in the book of Matthew, the wise men came from the east, we are told. And they had spent their entire lives in Babylon, what is today Iraq. They had spent their entire lives studying the stars and mapping the location of the stars and their brightness and their position throughout the changing of the seasons. And so it was not an accident that it was a star that God used to lead them to the very house where the Lord Jesus was with Mary and Joseph when he was about 2 years of age. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that strange? God would use a star to guide the wise men. Why? That's what they were familiar with. They spent their whole lives studying the stars and the skies. I think it's amazing, personally. I just think it's amazing how God speaks to our hearts. But you know, the shepherds were not wise men. They were not wise men from the east, and I don't mean they weren't wise. I'm just saying they did not have the title that these wise men had. These wise men from the east were kings. They were nobility. They were the upper crust. You know what the upper crust is, right? That's a bunch of crumbs held together by their own dough. All right, just making sure you're awake. All right, think about it now. Come on. That's going to hit some of you tomorrow about lunchtime. The shepherds were not nobility. They were not, you know, big in the social ladder. But they were devout and they were humble Jews who had been familiar since the time they were able to comprehend what their daddy was teaching them about the Lord. And they were familiar since childhood with the Old Testament scriptures that spoke often of angels from heaven that came and assisted and helped the saints of old. They were familiar with those scriptures that talked about how that the angel went before the children of Israel, and how the angel of the Lord fought battles for them, and how the angel of the Lord came and stood before Jacob, and on and on and on, how the angel of the Lord had assisted and helped their forefathers throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures. And so how does the Lord speak to them? With an angel. It's amazing, isn't it? God speaks to us with that which we are familiar with. With the shepherds were spoken to by the Lord, and God used angels to speak to them and to draw them to the Savior. So I think that the divine voice of the Lord has a different accent for every differing heart. Do you remember John said in the book of the Revelation that when he turned and heard the Lord Jesus speak, John said that his voice was as the sound of many waters. You see, there are things the Lord says to one soul that probably no one else could understand. That is the voice of the shepherd, folks. And did he not say, I am the good shepherd in John 10:27? And then just a little bit later, he followed that statement and he said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Amen. So that's the voice of our God speaking to our hearts. And I just want you to know that the Lord speaks to us in the things that we are the most familiar with and in ways that we can personally understand what he has to say. To the farmer, he speaks of sowing and reaping all through the Bible. But in this passage of scripture, the shepherds were visited in the night by a multitude of heavenly hosts who announced the birth of the Savior to the world with great rejoicing. Now, there's a couple of things I want you to notice here about the different ways in which the Lord speaks to his own, the Lord speaks to others. Simple things, but things that I think will encourage us at this time of the year. First of all, I want you to notice with me that when the Lord spoke to these shepherds, they were visited by the Lord and spoken to by the Lord when they were doing their responsibilities. Notice that. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. Their job was shepherds. And they were watching over their flocks by night. They were doing what was their duty to be doing. It was while they were busy in their responsibility that they heard the music of the angels ring across the sky. And they were then visited by that glorious host from heaven. Wouldn't it have been a shame? I mean, just an absolute terrible loss if one of them had decided earlier that he wanted to just, you know, slip off and neglect his responsibility and maybe go down to a bar for a couple of hours. Wouldn't it have been a shame if he did that and missed what happened here in this chapter? Oh, how sad that would have been. I dare say that man would have never gotten over it, don't you? But no, they were all doing their duty. And that's when God shows up, when we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. What if one of them had decided that he was just going to stay home and kick back and watch the football game and not go and watch over his flock by night? Well, I tell you, folks, if he did, that man would not have had any music that night. There would have been no light for him that night, and the glimpse of heaven would have been missed. So I'm just simply saying the vision was given on the line of duty. Their vision was given on the line of duty. You know, all of us are tempted to take the easy way sometimes, aren't we? We're all tempted to neglect our responsibilities. But I want you to pay close attention to the fact that it was while these shepherds were doing what was their duty to do that they were visited by God's angels and given the glorious news of the birth of the Savior. It was to men who were faithful and who were faithful to their appointed tasks that the angels visited. Let me tell you something, folks. God never has a song for that person who shirks his or her duty and is not busy doing the responsibilities that he has been given or she has been given to do. This is why, as Christians, we ought to read our Bibles every day. That's our duty, to read the Word of God. I mean, we ought to know it. You know, God's going to speak to you out of this book. When I say God speaks to you, you're not going to hear God's voice. You're going to read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit is going to impress the Word of God upon your heart. That's what I mean when God speaks today. God speaks through His Word. Hebrews 1:1-2 in the Bible there says that God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son. The Word of God speaks to our hearts. And so, Christian, listen, this is why we ought to be in God's house. Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. Sunday night. Amen. And Wednesday night. Yes, indeed. I mean, we just ought to be here in the house of the Lord and doing what is our duty to do, because we never know when heaven might show up. But if we are not doing what is our duty to do, we're going to miss it. I remember when a pastor down at Bell Creek Baptist Church in Dixie, West Virginia, we had a family. And this mom and dad were wanting us to pray for their son, and so we were all praying that their son would come and get saved and get his heart right with the Lord. And he was rebellious as he could be, but mom was insistent, pray for my son, and we always prayed for him all the time, and so one Sunday morning, I looked up, and there he was. He was sitting in church on the next to the last row. And I looked back, saw his face, and when I made eye contact with him, he looked down. I guess he thought I said, let's pray, because he looked down. But then I preached the message, and as I preached the message, I saw his interest just continued to improve as I was preaching. I would move this way, he would follow me. I would move that way, he'd look around the person in front of him so he could see me. He was actually moving so he could keep his eyes on me. And he listened intently. Well, when I got to looking around, I noticed that mom wasn't there. I thought, now where in the world is she? You know, she wants us to pray for her son. She's not even here. What if he gets saved this morning? She's going to miss it. And you know what happened? He got saved that morning. I gave the invitation. He stepped out on the first word of the invitation hymn, walked down the front. Mom and dad were nowhere to be found. Oh, he came forward, got on his knees, and prayed and asked the Lord to save him. It was so sweet, so wonderful. The whole church was rejoicing, and he was rejoicing. He turned around and thanked everybody for praying for him. And that's the way it ought to be, you know. We pray, and God answers. Amen. But where was mom and dad? Folks, I'm just simply saying that it was on men who were faithful to their appointed task that the glory of the Lord was revealed. Secondly, I want you to notice that the things that heaven was interested in was something that the people of Bethlehem were not interested in. You know, nobody in Bethlehem seemed to care that the Savior was born. Nobody in the city, and by the way, there is a noticeable contrast between the fields where the shepherds were and the town. You see, the town of Bethlehem was packed with people. You say, well, how do you know that? That was 2,000 years ago. I know that because the town was so crowded that there was not even one room available for a young woman who was about to deliver a baby. That's how I know the town was crowded. I mean, folks all over had crammed into the city of Bethlehem, whose descendants were from the tribe of Judah, and they came to pay their taxes to Caesar. They thought, well, you know, we better get this done. I don't know. Maybe the first of the year was when the taxes were due, and so everybody's cramming in. I don't know. But they just decided, man, we got to get to Bethlehem. And so when Joseph and Mary showed up, there was no room for them at the inn. So they had to settle for the caves underneath the inn. You know, I can imagine that was the subject that everybody in Bethlehem was talking about, don't you? Taxes. Taxes. Don't you think? I mean, come on, that's what we talk about, isn't it? Nobody likes to pay taxes, and I can guarantee you they didn't either. Their disgust with Rome, their hatred of the Roman system, the way they despised Caesar and with all of his ridiculous taxation requirements. And they were probably talking about what a struggle it was to get from where they lived in the Holy Land back to Bethlehem in order to pay the price for their taxes. And by the way, I'm sure that inflation had set in on them too, don't you? I would guess it had. Sure. And so probably on the lips of every person who crowded into that little hilltop village were the words of anger and frustration and bitterness toward Rome and the Caesar. But I don't think the sharpest shepherd's ear heard any of that as they came to the inn that night. I don't think any of them heard any of that talk. Do you? No, the shepherds only had one thing on their minds: seeing the Savior that was born. They only had one thing that they were concerned with. The shepherds were only interested in what heaven was interested in. They were sitting out on the Judean hills doing their duty when suddenly heaven shows up just over top of their heads. And so in verse 15, after they saw that amazing choir singing, they said to one another, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass. Well, I don't blame them, do you? In other words, they came to see that which had heaven all cranked up. Yeah. They came to see what had stirred heaven to just explode over top of their heads. Amen. Oh my, what a wonderful scene that must have been. Seeing the Savior, that's what it was all about. They came to see what the angel had announced to them. They wanted to see what stirred heaven so greatly that evening. And what stirred heaven had now stirred them, and they came running to see for themselves what had moved heaven so greatly. Amen. And yet, when they got to town, the townsfolks were not stirred at all. They didn't even know anything was happening. Yeah. That's sad, isn't it? They didn't even know anything was happening. In verse 17, we learned that the shepherds were the ones that had to go out and announce what had happened because the townspeople were oblivious. And I think there's a lesson here, don't you? I think there's probably a lot of lessons here, but here's the one I see. What makes the world, or what the world makes much of, is of insignificance in heaven. And what the world neglects and ignores is often the biggest and greatest news in heaven. I mean, I think if we could grasp that truth and see it, it would change our lives, don't you?
Yep. Amen.
I really do. This is how the world lives, and it's a tragedy that they do so. I mean, I'm sure the headlines in the Bethlehem Times the next morning was, Occupy Bethlehem marches on City Hall over tax hikes. I would not be surprised. And everybody missed what was the biguest news, the real story, the major headline. They all missed that. The Messiah had been born. You see, heaven saw its importance, though, and it revealed to those shepherds who then took the news and spread it all over the land. I find it interesting that we have a Bible that tells us what the end times will look like. And we see our world today with the financial collapse that's going on around the world, with inflation that is rising, and no plan to fix it. And we see all the nations lining up against Israel, and we see the radicals in these the Muslim radicals in these Middle Eastern countries who are aiming their guns at Israel and getting more and more bold as each day goes by. And I'm telling you, folks, we need to realize that we should be interested in all that.
Yep, that's right.
We ought to care that that's happening.
Amen.
We ought not sit back and go, wow, look at that. No, it's in the Bible what's going to happen. Read your Bible so that when you see these things come to pass, as the Lord Jesus said, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen. Praise God.
We need to do that. You need to know what the Bible says is coming. We're given the world doesn't care about any of that. You don't hear these stories. You know, people say to me, Pastor, where do you read all that stuff? Well, here's where I read it. I read it on the UK Daily Mail. I read it on the Jerusalem Post. I mean, there are websites that are not run by the White House that you can find out what's going on in the world. But nobody in America knows what's going on.
Yep, you're right.
And what's sad is nobody seems to care. Oh, as long as we can keep up with the Kardashians, we're good. As long as we can see what Justine Bieber's up to. Right. The world's a mess, folks. And I'm just saying that which is interested, that heaven's interested in, is something that is being disregarded down here. America needs to wake up. You know, when a huge storm is brewing, when a hurricane or a nor'easter or something like that, when one of those big storms is developing and it looks like it's headed in our direction, why, they'll start talking about it days before it even forms. Days before it even forms. And that's why they're so often wrong. They start talking about it before it ever happens. Everybody's hunkered down in the basement before it even develops, because they just talk about it for days. Well, I'm telling you, folks, there is coming a storm the likes of which this world has never seen. Let's be like the shepherds who got a glimpse of heaven and not be like the people sitting around in Bethlehem asleep while the Savior of the world was born. Amen. Get in your book, folks. Get in your book. Learn your Bible. You have a Bible, read it. Love it. Learn it. Trust it. It's God's Word. Then lastly, here's another little nugget that we need to see. This story shows us that the angels will pass. They'll go away, but the Savior remains.
Amen.
The Savior remains.
Praise God.
You know, they were sitting out on that hill, and all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord showed up. Now, you know who the angel of the Lord is, right? Yeah. Isn't that something? The Lord Jesus announced his own birth. That's awesome. That's just awesome. I mean, you know, go back to verse 9 for just a minute. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them at watch, comma. You say, how do you know that's the Lord Jesus, comma, and the glory of the Lord. No further explanation needed, I think. They're sitting out there watching over the sheep, probably had a little fire going, roasting marshmallows, you know, making s'mores. I don't know. And all of a sudden, the night sky lights up. And then here comes all those angels. And they're just singing glory to God in the highest. Man, I bet that was a rendition they never forgot. And they're standing there watching this, and they're so excited. And then, in just a little while after the song was over, then the hillside got dark again. Oh, when the angels were there, it was lit up like daytime. But then the angels went back to heaven. And when they did, the darkness fell upon the hill again. Huh. You see, the angels left. But what did they do? They said, let us go and see this thing which has come to pass.
Yep.
And when they got down to the inn, they saw the Savior of the world. He was there. He didn't leave. And by the way, that same Savior has made promise after promise after promise after promise to you and to me that He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. You know, there are times when we come to church and, man, we can just sense the presence of the Lord. You know, the choir will sing a song and it'll just grip our hearts. And then the Word of God will touch our hearts and the congregational singing will stir our souls. I have stood up here many a time and watched you as the church would sing and people coming in and they haven't ever heard anything like that for years. And all they're used to is the 7-11 courses, you know, 7 words, you sing them 11 times and that's all they're used to. And they come in and hear the songs, the hymns, and I've seen people standing back there with tears rolling down their faces. Come up and thank me for singing the old hymns. You can't find a church that does that anymore. Or very few. You see, the vision of the angels was soon a distant memory. But the little baby whom they heralded was much more than that. He was a living power in their midst. A living power in their midst. The angels were soon gone, But Jesus remained. And my friend, he still remains for us a living presence. We are reminded every year at December that there was a day when God entered into this world, when God became flesh and dwelt among us. We are reminded that there was a day when the disciples said of him that they beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the blessing is, he never leaves us. Amen. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is with us all way, even to the end of the earth. Loved ones will pass away and leave us all alone. Friends will forsake us and leave us to ourselves. The angels left the shepherds, but folks, listen, when they got to Bethlehem, they found something better than just an angel.
Amen.
They saw the Savior.
Yep.
Amen. I'd rather have the Savior any day, wouldn't you?
Yep. Amen.
I think this should be one of the great and lasting lessons of Christmas. And you know, folks, there's a multitude of people who hate to see the Christmas season come around. And they don't like to see it because it does nothing for them but stir up sad memories. They cannot think of anything but those sad angel faces that they have loved, but now they're long gone. But my dear friend, listen, learn the lesson that is in these comforting verses. The Lord Jesus comes to us to stay.
Amen. Praise God.
He comes to us to stay. Do you ever notice in life that nothing ever stays the same? You know? Over time, everything changes, doesn't it? Yeah. How many times have you gone to the mirror in the morning and you looked at that mirror and you said, mercy, who is that? Where did that come? What happened to that? Huh? Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? You know, you see these teenagers and they're out standing around, you know, taking selfies. And they're smiling, you know, and they'll pooch their lips together and all that junk. You just wait. You just wait, cutie pie. You ain't seen nothing yet. If the Lord tarries his coming, you're going to look like the rest of us. But Jesus never changes, does he?
Amen.
Same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And we can trust him, folks. We can trust him. Let Christmas remind you of the immutable, unchanging Savior.
Amen.
Who will be here regardless of what we have to face.
Yep. Amen.
And he will guide us and nurture us. He will encourage our hearts. He will strengthen us to make it through another day. He will forgive our sins.
Amen.
And he will cleanse our hearts and make us whole.
Amen. Praise God.
With such a Savior so full of power and so full of grace, who has promised to never leave us, all of us can certainly enjoy a happy and a wonderful Christmas.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, please. Appreciate your attention this morning. I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you could be as honest with me as you possibly can be. I wonder how many of us here today will say, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it, but God's speaking to my heart this morning. I need to get closer to the Lord and get in His Word. I want this Christmas season to be the best one I've ever had. So I want the Holy Spirit of God to remind me that my Savior will never leave me nor forsake me. And I'm going to do my best to serve Him and live for Him." Christian, raise your hand if that's your prayer this morning. Amen. God bless all of you. God bless all of you. That's wonderful. My. Praise the Lord. Good to see all these hands. Thank you. You may put them down. Now let me ask one more important question. If you're here today and not 100% sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you say, "Pastor, I just don't know for sure if I died today that I'd go to heaven. I'm not 100% sure. So, Pastor, pray for me. I know I need the Lord. Pray for me." Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Nobody's looking, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you, I promise. Anybody like that? "Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. Pray for me." Anybody like that? Just lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it. Anybody? All right. Father in heaven, thank you now for our time together this morning. And I pray that we will all hear what the Lord is saying to our hearts this morning. And Father, you have promised that you will use your word to instruct us and to guide us. And you'll speak to our hearts, convict us of sin. And Lord, you'll lead us in the path that we ought to walk in. And so I pray that you will speak to hearts and bless this morning. Father, all these folks who have raised their hand, and I had mine up as well. And Father, we want to get in the Word, and we want to hear from heaven. We want heaven, just like heaven showed up that night for the shepherds. We want heaven to show up for us as we are in the Word of God, and you speak and you guide and work in our lives. So, Father, bless all these hands that were raised this morning. Draw us close to yourself. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.